السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers. Throughout the month of Ramadan we have been discussing the virtues of the development of taqwa in a person's heart. That if the person develops taqwa, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised a great deal on this taqwa that this person has developed. The beneficiary of the taqwa is going to be that individual himself. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised to remove his difficulties, his problems, his hardships. Allah ta'ala will remove his trials. Allah ta'ala will make it easy for him to earn his living. Allah will provide for him from sources that he least expects to get provision from, sustenance from, and so many other promises. We were discussing one hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last talk, which was also dealing with taqwa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, many of his hadiths deal with taqwa. Coincidentally, this afternoon we have had this nikah which took place, and therefore it will be appropriate that if we switch over to something with regards to nikah. Because Islam is not just the performance of salat in the masjid. Islam is not the recitation of some du'as or making some zikrullah or giving some charity or just giving some zakat or going for hajj and umrah. All these are part and parcel of Islam or the Islamic way of life. Some of the things are fundamental pillars. Some of it we term as dealings between people, family relationship, social relationship, etiquette, morals, akhlaq, character, muasharat, so many things. So part of it is also nikah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the greatest contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No person in this world, not even the nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, none of them had that kind of contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. But yet he married many women as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had instructed and ordered him, and there were great benefits. There were many reasons why he married so many wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to discuss that issue, then it is a lengthy subject. But for every nikah that he undertook, there was great wisdom, there was a great need for that nikah to be undertaken. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's major concern was nothing but the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala spreading, and that there should be so many women who lived with him so that they may be able to convey to the Muslim women the masail of sharia which they learned directly from Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam as his wives. And there were many other reasons. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of lust and passion for him undertaking more than one nikah. If that was the case, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not have married firstly a widow with whom he, until her death, he did not marry another woman. In the 10th year of prophethood, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was only 25 and she was 40 years of age when he married her. So it shows that it is not a question of lust. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's marriages were undertaken. But the point that I want to emphasize and stress upon is this, that these women who came into his life as his wives, it did not affect his spirituality in any way. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's spirituality was not affected in any way because of his marriages. As some other religions, we find that they say that if a person has to marry, then he cannot be the friend of the Creator, or he cannot get divine inspiration. It affects his spirituality. Shariat says that nikah does not affect a person's spirituality. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدْ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْعِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the person who undertakes nikah, the person who marries, he has completed half of his faith, he has perfected half of his iman and faith. In other words, half of iman and faith lies in marriage. What that means, that this person by undertaking this nikah, it will protect him from so much of sins. Already he is protected by undertaking this nikah. There are so many benefits that will accrue to him. Again, it is another subject. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that half of his faith has been perfected just by saying this nikah tuha, qabil tuha. He has completed half of his faith. But immediately after that, again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses the same word, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي, and fear Allah now in the remaining half. Which means that this person who has completed this half, he is not now at liberty to do whatever he wills. This marriage that he has undertaken has brought upon him a tremendous amount of responsibilities. It is not just a joke. We have little children, when they are playing games, then they say, let's make nikah. And you have somebody also performing the nikah too. So this is not a game. Marriage brings about tremendous amount of responsibilities. Therefore, it is mentioned that if a person has got sufficient provisions, he has got enough wealth, and his passions are at such a level that if he is not going to make nikah, then he will indulge in zina, in adultery or fornication, then it is compulsory upon this person to marry. That means just as in namaz we have farz, wajib, sunnat, nafil, mubah, like that, we have in this nikah also that at certain times it becomes compulsory for this person, that he's got enough money, he's got the provisions, he's got good health, he's got everything. Now and he is fearing that he will definitely land himself in adultery or fornication, then this person must make nikah. If the person has got sufficient, but his passions are under control, and he has got no fear of falling into this trap of zina, then at such a time we will say that it is sunnat for him to marry. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that nikah is my sunnat, he is referring to my way of life, that it is my sunnat, my way of life, that as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala I undertook marriages. So you, O ummatis of mine, you too must keep this institution of nikah alive, and do not become caught up in all those webs of shaitan, and in all those traps of shaitan, and in all those nets of shaitan, which will come in your time, in which they will say that first you must get to know the woman, you must live 5 years, 10 years, 20 years with her, get to know her extremely well. Don't undertake nikah first. When you know her very well, after that you must undertake the marriage. And by the time, in that society which believes in this kind of morals, we find that the person has got 3 children, 5 children, and then they announce the engagement. There is great excitement that Mr. So-and-so has announced his engagement to so-and-so, after he's already got 3 children and 5 children. So Sharia does not say that you must get to know the woman in that manner. Yes, find out from the family members, find out from the people that know the woman. But Sharia does not allow this courting and moving around, because this community or those nations or those societies which believe that those nikahs and those marriages will last, in which you have first lived with that woman for a number of years, and you have been courting and you have been moving around and getting to know her very well, then we know, statistics prove, there is no shortage of evidence that 1 out of every 3 marriages is ending in divorce now in Europe and in America and other parts of the world. So those were the people that were saying that you must get to know the woman well. So after spending 20 years and 15 years and 10 years with that woman, then what was the need for divorce? Because they got to know her very well. So, na'uzu billahi min zalik, we must not fall for these type of traps. We are the ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave to us a beautiful way of life, a very pure and a clean way of life. A life in which there is nothing but purity, a life in which there is nothing but peace of mind, contentment of the heart and satisfaction of the soul. The moment the person obeys Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will find nothing but satisfaction in his heart. Under all conditions, he will find joy and happiness. So this marriage brings about tremendous amount of responsibilities. Therefore, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نِسْفِ الْبَاقِي, that this person who made nikah, now he must fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in that nisf which is baqi, the other half. That means there will be so much of obligation. He still has to perform his salat 5 times a day. He has to give zakat if due. He has to fast in the month of Ramadan and go for hajj if farz. He has to fulfill the rights of his parents on the one side. He has to fulfill the rights of his wife now. And if he gets children, then he has to fulfill the rights of those children. And if he has a family, now that family, the rights of the mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, there's so many other rights that come now upon his shoulders. There are different kinds of rights. So this person who has made nikah now, he must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all those other departments of his life. He must not take it for granted that I have made nikah, so now my responsibility is over, and now I can do whatever I like. Now there will be demands sometimes from the wife which are haram, demands which are un-Islamic. Now because he is just newly married, so at that time shaitan will say that you must please your wife. So indeed, it is the hukam of shariat, it is the hukam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah that a person should give great consideration to his wife. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam made special sifarish, he made a special appeal on behalf of the women. His concern even at the time that he was passing away was the treatment that the people must give to the woman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in so many hadiths, he has conveyed to the ummah that what kind of treatment they should give to their wives. His wives, who are the ummahatul mu'mineen, the mothers of the faithful. Now they were wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but at certain times they said certain things, which if any other woman had to say to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it would have been kufr. If some other woman had to say those same words to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which some of the wives at certain times in that ecstasy or joy or in whatever state of mind they were, or in that anger, if they said something, if those same words were used by any other woman, Nabi alayhi, regarding Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it would have been kufr. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam maintained silence to show the ummah that there must be tolerance when it comes to the life with one's wife. There must be great amount of tolerance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that they are like prisoners in your control. I can give many, many hadiths about the rights of the husband, but I always say that it is unfortunate that those hadiths which the husband should read, the wives are reading. And those hadiths which the wife should read, the husbands are reading. The husbands go there first day with a list of the rights of the husband. And the wife straight away comes out with a list of the rights of the wives. Agar tu hai raja, to main hu rani. Ab kaun bharega pani? If both of them want to be king and queen, then who's going to do the job? So we should not be reading our rights. We should be reading out the rights of the wife. What are her rights? And when we are going to fulfill her rights, then there will be times when she will say something, she will do something, she will behave in a certain manner which will be irritating, agitating, hurtful, injurious to one's sentiments. So at that time now will become the responsibility of that husband to exercise great amount of patience and sabr. Because it is with this patience and sabr that he exercises over any kind of harm that is coming to him through the wife's side, by means of which Allah Ta'ala will elevate his status. He must see that what is my duty. So when there will be these demands which are un-Islamic, at such a time to be firm, but firm again with great amount of understanding. It must not be like a breaking up of the marriage, that either you do this or get out of this house and talaq, talaq, talaq. For example, if the wife is not reading salat, and the husband is a pious person, he is reading salat 5 times a day, now one is to tell her that you make 5 times salat from today, and if you don't make, I'll throw you out of the house. And the other is that keep the fazail of namaz near her head, give her some tapes on salat and the virtues of salat, speak to her about salat, but gently, kindly, with wisdom and tact, bring her on to salat. That dua-e qunut, in dua-e qunut when we say that whoever disobeys you, O Allah, we give them up, we separate ourselves from them. وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ مُجَدَّدِ مِلَّةِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ stated, that there, if a person says that I do not believe in those beliefs that a Muslim should hold, then that husband must separate himself from that wife. But when it comes to practical actions and deeds, then there it is not compulsory and it is not necessary for this person to separate from that wife. He must keep on educating and teaching her. So what I was saying is that unfortunately these days the only hadith that we men know is that if I had ordered anyone to make sajda to anyone, then I would have ordered the women to make sajda to their husbands. Now that's the only hadith we know. Whereas we should be reading the hadiths of what are the rights of the wives. Brothers, believe me, the amount of injustices that is being done, the great amount of injustice that husbands are doing towards their wives. I'm not saying the wives are innocent and they are angels. Some of them have gone on to extremes. But when they go on to one extreme, then we should not go on to another extreme. The unfortunate part is that we believe that they must obey us. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has ordered them, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered them to be obedient to the husbands. But when they do not obey, then what should we do? Should we use the whip straight away? Should we start swearing and cursing? So many cases we handle. In fact, there are so many people, after getting married, and this is no lie, some of them have got a 50-point plan for the wife, that what she must do. Some have got 60 points, and some has got even 90 points. Up to 90 points, the wife had to read as to what she should be doing as a wife. What time must be the breakfast? What time the house must be swept and cleaned? What time the bedding must be changed? The linen must be changed? And what are his favorite dishes? And how it must be cooked and prepared? And when he walks into the house, how she should behave? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Is this the way that a person gets married? And then after that they say plenty of quarrel, plenty of fight, plenty of tufan. And some of them want their wives to behave exactly as those monkeys and donkeys that behave on the television screen. And when they are unable to do so or they object, then this person finds it very, very hurtful and then begins to talk about talaq and divorce and threatens that I will bring another wife. Brothers, it is time that we change our intentions when we are making nikah. The intention of nikah was that we want to protect and safeguard ourselves from zina, from haram, and that Allah Ta'ala must make this marriage a means of some pious and righteous child coming into this world, so that this person will pray for us the day we pass away, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that when a person dies, in qata anhu amaluhu illa min salas, all his actions and deeds, the book of deeds is now closed, but three things keep on giving him sawab, the recurring sawab and rewards. And of those three things, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the things he has mentioned, awwaladin salihin yad'u lahu, that it is a pious and a righteous child who will make dua for those parents after they are deceased. So when will the person make dua? When the person is given a proper upbringing. So the purpose of this nikah was to protect and safeguard ourselves from haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it will cause you to lower your gaze. It will cause you to lower your gaze from looking at women casting lustful glances. This nikah, it will be a protection from that. But then we say that it is not a protection for us. In fact, after nikah, we are casting more glances. So who is to be blamed? Do you blame Shariat for that? If there is a certain model of car in the market, and all cars of that model are running very well, and they are very speedy and fast, and very efficient in fuel, but one particular person's car, or say a few people's cars are not performing as they should be performing, then we will say something is wrong with those cars. It is not that something is wrong with that of that model. In the same way, if somebody's life after nikah is not coming right, then it means that this person himself has not studied what Islam is teaching with regards to the rights of the wife and what is the teaching of Islam with regards to piety and righteousness and God fear. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person should fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to the balance. The Sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam that if only we knew what to acquire as wealth. It does not mean that it is haram to get gold and silver or platinum and uranium. It is not haram if the person earns it halal and he spends it correctly, then it is not haram. But look at the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he directed the attention of the believers and the ummatis towards such things which will help the person in this world, in the qabr and in the hereafter. They said that, Ya Rasulullah, if we only knew what we should acquire as wealth, then we would try and acquire it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Qalbun shakirun. Get a heart which is grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is shukr again is another lengthy subject, but get qalb shakir wa lisanun zakir, and your tongue must be engaged in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we say it must be engaged in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, it does not mean 24 hours you must make the tasbih and keep reading subhanallah. What it means is that in business you must remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In your home you must remember Allah ta'ala. When you are walking on the streets you must remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you are a student at the university and college, you must remember that Allah is watching, He is hearing, He is knowing. He knows exactly what you are doing, and your life is in His control. He can seize that person any time that He wishes. The person, whilst he is in the midst of adultery and fornication, Allah ta'ala can cause the roof to collapse over his head by a tremor and earthquake. In the midst of adultery and fornication, the angel of death can extract that soul. Now just imagine that person is in a hotel room where he thinks nobody is watching, and there he is in the privacy of that room, and he is committing adultery. I do not know how a person can even take that chance and that risk when he does not know what can happen within seconds. Within seconds, homes have been burned. People left their pajama suits and ran from their homes. Within seconds. And it is not a story of 1400 years ago or 10,000 years ago. I'm talking about recently, a few days ago. When the fire was raging, then ask what happened. The people were not even given the opportunity of taking a few dishes or some baggage or some luggage or a few sets of clothes. They ran for their lives. The dogs, the cats and the animals and human beings all ran as if it was Qiyamah. But we take no lessons from these things. Now just imagine if a person was committing adultery in one of those rooms, and now he had to run from there like that. What would be his state? Then we will say that the Muslim Ummah is being disgraced and humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed that what is happening in the community. But who forms the community? We as individuals make up the community. All of us want the entire Ummah to change. All over the world, everybody must change. But the only thing we do not want is a change must come in our own lives. Because it is the most easiest thing to do is to bring the change in our own lives. But at the same time, the most difficult thing to do. Therefore, we rather look far away. But if all of us, for example, even if this one congregation that we have here, now each and every one of us make up our mind and niyat and intention that I want to please my Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at all cost. I am going to get rid of that television which has got major content all haram. I am not saying the box is haram, but because the major content is haram, and what it is leading to, wives hating husband, children hating husband, brothers and sisters wanting at the throats of each other, the direct result of those films that they are watching. If we do not want to believe it, don't believe it. But even the psychiatrists and even those people who introduced it into our lives, they are now acknowledging the harmful effects. So if all of us make up our minds that we do not want such things in our home, which will create such kind of problems for us that we will not be able to resolve after that, and it is going to lead to marital problems and breakdowns and children being disobedient and rebels and indisciplined, so then nobody is going to stop us. If all of us decide we are going to make namaz 5 times a day, we are not going to indulge in any haram, then that is the easier thing to do. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that ayat which is recited in the khutbah of the nikah, which you heard a little while ago, one of the ayats in that Allah ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, and fear that Allah in whose name you ask for your rights. That Allah whose name you take and you demand your rights, then you must fear that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and fulfill the rights of the others too. Now this wife whom you are giving one whole long list that you must do this and do that, and you are saying it is Allah ta'ala's hukam, whereas 99.9% of those things mentioned, they are not even Allah ta'ala's hukam. So how much more concerned this person must be that I must fulfill her rights. That Allah who has given me these rights over her, then He has given her rights over me. This is again so difficult to condense because there are so many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but the gist of what I have just mentioned is this, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam want us to live a life of happiness, peace, satisfaction, contentment. That when we enter our homes, there must be joy and happiness. When the wife looks at us, she must smile, she must feel happy that my husband has come, not a wolf or a tiger or a lion has walked in. The wife must feel happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the greatest concern for the ummah. Who could have had more concern for the ummah than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? But Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he walked into the house, he had a smile on his face and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now isn't that a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to talk cheerfully, Some of them say that, no, my wife doesn't think on my level. She doesn't talk on the same wavelength. Brothers, our wavelength might be such that the wife might not be able to reach that wavelength. So we must come down to her wavelength. With the wife now, if you want to talk politics, because you are a master in politics, and she hasn't got any knowledge of who is the president of the country at present, so there's going to be incompatibility. So at such a time, talk at her level. But if you are going to make this relationship with your wives pleasant and a happy one, within the confines of Sharia, within the boundaries of Sharia, not allowing all haram kind of things to come into the life, then Allah Ta'ala will definitely make that life miserable. It is Allah's promise that when we are going to disobey Him, He will make the person's life miserable. How many homes do we have today that they can take qasam and say that, Alhamdulillah, our lives are very, very pleasant, with our children, with our wives, with our family members? None of us. Why? Because we have failed in our obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this person, if he is going to come down to that level and talk at her level, and if he is going to make the life pleasant and interesting and not stay out with his friends till 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning and then just come and start demanding at that part of the night food, then that life will become pleasant and a happy one. And if the life in the home becomes happy, then the children will also see that this is how husbands and wives should live when they are going to see their parents in this state. And if the children are going to see fights and quarrels and arguments and swearing and cursing all the time, and sometimes the husband running away from the house and sometimes the wife running away from the house, then those children are getting scared. Those young girls are getting scared. They do not want to marry. And we will be the direct cause of their not marrying and indulging in sins. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the tawfiq to make amal on this mubarak sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And for those who fear that they will definitely not be able to do justice, then they must fast, they must cut down on their passions, and they must keep themselves clear and pure of evil thoughts, then it is permissible for them not to marry. But otherwise, we should encourage our young boys who are at the schools and colleges, who have finished their matrics and don't wait now for another 10 degrees before they marry. And for our daughters also, if we are going to keep waiting until they finish with those degrees, then they are going to bring one more degree that they are already mothers. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us and safeguard us. Wa akhiru da'wana. May Allah ta'ala make this marriage very, very happy and a prosperous one. Fill their hearts with love and affection for each other and make it the means of the coming into this world of pious and righteous children. Wa akhiru da'wana.